I think that Steve, I don't know if any of you know Dave Steimers. I think we all know Dave by now. If not, and this is your first Sunday, this is Dave Steimers. He's our lead pastor at Westside Church here. And this is Steve Cox. And Steve, Dave's a current pastor. You're a retired pastor. Is that right? Yeah. So here's the deal. Dave's been in ministry 17 years, over 17 years. 17 years here at the church?
15 here.
Okay, yeah. 15 here, 17 years. And I asked Steve how long he's been in ministry, and he said, well, I've been in ministry 30 years before I retired, and that was 10 years ago. Now, Steve's part of our prayer team here. He's part of our Alpha crew. He and his wife lead a life group, and they're also leading now Freedom in Christ. So I don't think Steve's quite retired yet. So anyway, you're getting rid of it. You never retire. So you have over 60 years of ministry experience here to answer some questions about the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what's happening. Is that some people have already submitted some questions. If you want to participate, you can still participate. There's going to be a number on the screen for you that if you're here in Hamilton today, you can participate. If you're watching online and you're live, you can send in a question via the, what's it called? The
comments
section, yeah, whatever that is called. And the chat, see? I'm getting caught up. Yeah. I learned QR code last year. I learned chat this year, so we're getting there. And if you're watching live, or if you're watching on YouTube after this, you can always send us a question to our email address, and we would gladly make sure that we respond to your question. So here's the first question. You ready? Here's the first question. This is a submitted question, and it says this. And Steve, why don't you start? When do we pray specifically to the Holy Spirit rather than directing our prayer to Jesus or God?
Okay. Yeah, that's a good question. And the way I approach this, I mean, many years ago, I heard someone say, well, you can only pray to the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. And in one sense, that's true. We have access to God through Jesus' death and resurrection. But if we think of the Trinity, then the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're all equally God. And so we can pray to Jesus, we can pray to God the Father, we can pray to the Holy Spirit. You know, often in church we say, come Holy Spirit. So I think it's just as you feel the Holy Spirit leading, you can pray to any of the three members of the Godhead.
Dave, any?
Yeah, I would agree. I would only say the only, when. So when would I pray to the Holy Spirit? And I would say, to me, it makes sense. When we're thinking through some of the very direct things that the scriptures tell us are functions of the Holy Spirit. So we want to be led. We might ask the Holy Spirit to lead us or to guide us, to convict us. Some of these things that we know is the role of the Holy Spirit. And as Steve said, some of those historically in Christianity, some of those prayers, even come Holy Spirit, is sort of a welcoming God's presence, us becoming aware to him, welcoming him, not because he's not already with us, but because we are consciously welcoming his presence.
Dave, why don't you start with this one? How do you differentiate or not mistake physiological or chemical reactions in the brain with the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, I love that. Sometimes a variation on that question is some people will say, let's say I'm praying, I'm asking God to speak to me, I'm listening to me. How do I know it's not just my imagination? If I think I hear something, I'm just coming up with it. And some responses I've heard to that is, well, wouldn't we expect God to work through our imagination? And I would say, of course we do that. God is going to work through the different elements of who we are as human beings. He's created us to be human beings. Having said that, could we come up with things in our own mind that we think are the Holy Spirit that aren't? And so I'd say there might be some good checks and balances that if we think we've heard from God to say, is this just a mood I was in or something that isn't actually coming from God? And so we might want to check what we think God is saying to us through the Holy Spirit. Does this match up with what we know about Jesus and his character and his teaching? We would expect that those things won't contradict each other, but actually will help us towards each other. Or we might talk to somebody that we respect and to say, hey, I really feel like God's been saying something to me. Can I run this past you? Will you pray about it? If God speaks to me, maybe he'll speak to you in a similar way. And to confirm that so that we're not just running out. Steve, what would you add?
Yeah, in terms of the physiological chemical reactions, we don't have to differentiate between that and the Holy Spirit. God made us body, soul, and spirit, so he knows our how we work. And so if we're praying and worshiping and experiencing God's peace, then that's from the Holy Spirit. But also the Holy Spirit works through our natural physiological system. So, yeah, that may affect our level of different chemicals in our bodies. So think of Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane or on the cross. Did he have a lot of cortisol flowing through his body? Probably yes, because he was a human being. Mm-hmm. And yet God, by the Holy Spirit, strengthened him and helped him, do and obey God's will in that situation.
Now the question that a variation of the same kind of question has come up several times, and it has to do with people's convictions. So if we all have the same Holy Spirit, that is, as Christians, we have the same Holy Spirit, why do we have such vast different convictions about things? And then there's political, there's different, like there's just some different things that are in here. Who wants to tackle that one first? Steve, yeah. You go first on that one. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
This is a good one. And there's several ways of answering this question, so I'll just try a few. Jesus said, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes, he called him the Spirit of Truth, will guide you into all truth and remind you of what I have said. So that's the promise. And it's a wonderful promise. The Holy Spirit guides us into truth, and we all experience that at various times. But we need to have a bit of humility with that too, and to recognize that we are all influenced by many things besides the Holy Spirit and Scripture. In fact, things that can influence the way we listen to the Holy Spirit or interpret Scripture. So there's our culture, there's a worldview that we grow up in, there's our own families and our family, the values we had in our families, our own experiences affect the way that we see things and decisions we make. So we need to be aware of that and really seek to listen to what God is saying by the Word of God and by His Holy Spirit. And so we just need to be aware of that and to listen and to have a bit of healthy self-doubt. I mean, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, we see in a glass darkly. So what that means is our knowledge is always going to be fragmentary or partial until Jesus returns. One example I like to use with this, which I think I shared here when I spoke once, was the example of slavery in the United States, like in the 1800s. I mean, there's all these Christians, many of them sincere Christians, maybe probably not all, obviously, who believed that in slavery, and some of them actually supported that by the Bible, you know. So how we have the Spirit of Truth? What does that mean? But it's interesting. There was one group, the Quakers, who 100 years before emancipation and the Civil War, 100 years before that, they came to the conclusion as a denomination that slavery was sin, that it was wrong, and they repented of it, and listening to the Holy Spirit, they decided as a group to release, to give freedom to all their slaves. And not only that, but they decided to compensate them for the years of service they'd given. So some of these people went bankrupt doing this. So it's like, okay, this is one Christian group that got it, and other Christians didn't. What's the difference? And I would suggest that I, if you know anything about the Quakers, and at that time they were much more orthodox too in their faith, but in their beliefs, but they had the habit and the tradition of sitting around in a circle and just listening to the Holy Spirit. And so I think maybe that has something to do with them being able to kind of break through the cultural beliefs and prejudices and things, and take the courageous step that they did. And so that's a challenge to us, to always be seeking to listen to the Holy Spirit and listen through the Word of God. Anyways, sorry if that took too long. But
that's okay, Dave.
That's great. Yeah, I was reading, we had a bunch of these questions, and they really revolve around our discernment. How do we know that God's speaking to us in a certain way? And I was reading these in the context of this Q&A for the Holy Spirit, but also thinking you could ask all the same questions about how we interpret the Bible. So what happens when two Christians read the same passage of Scripture and we come to different conclusions? We have different convictions. And we go, we're reading the same Bible and we're both trying to follow Jesus. We both love God. How can this happen? And I wonder if part of the way that God speaks to us, he's intentionally speaking to us in a way that we need to listen to him in community. And so when we come with different ideas, maybe that's not an unintended consequence. Maybe it's built into it. Work together. Let it draw you together. Ask each other questions. Try to understand each other better. Continue to pray. Continue to learn. Steve talked about humility. Okay, we heard something different. Well, maybe I'm off on this. Maybe I'm not interpreting this 100% right. And if we find ourselves weaponizing what we think God is speaking to us, whether that's from Scripture or through our prayer times or the Holy Spirit speaking to us, that's like a red flag. If I'm now weaponizing against the examples we see in Scripture, as somebody brought up in their question, Romans chapter 14, I believe. And in Romans chapter 14, we have exactly that. People who've come to different conclusions about a hot topic in their day, which was, can we eat meat that was sacrificed to idols or not? And it comes back, you've disagreed on this thing. Now you need to look out for each other. You need to see somebody else's perspective, and then don't use your perspective to squash them or to hinder them or to cause them to go against their conviction, but instead maybe sacrifice something of yourself in order to encourage them and help them move forward. And so there is this spirit of humility and unity that comes through as we say, okay, well, let's keep learning together. Let's keep going. Let's not just stop and say, wow, we disagree. Let's keep talking. Let's keep hearing. Let's ask other people to come into the conversation in their prayer life.
It's really good. Okay, a question came here, and it says this. How can we tell, Dave, this is for you.
Oh.
How can we tell when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us versus what is our own thoughts versus what could be possibly thoughts of temptation?
Yeah, wow, great question.
Want Steve to go first?
Yeah, I always want Steve to go first.
Well, I mean, there's some basic principles that maybe many of us have heard when it comes to hearing from the Holy Spirit, because it can be a subjective thing. So you always compare what you hear, think you're hearing from the Spirit to Scripture. Mm-hmm. So you don't, you know, if you're thinking of committing adultery, you don't need to pray about that, right? It's like, is that you, God? It's like... It's right there in Scripture. God has already spoken it very clearly out of his love for us. And so we don't have to, agonize over that. There's other ways that God will confirm whether it's something that's from the Spirit or not. Often there is a sense of peace when the Holy Spirit is speaking. But if there's kind of confusion and anxiety around it, then you might need to step back and just wait.
Yeah, I think of maybe John 14, where it says that the Holy Spirit will convict us of sin, but also of his righteousness and of God's judgment. And I think there's this idea of clarity of what those things are, that sometimes God's Holy Spirit convicts us. And when that happens, it's not to shame us. It's in a way to bring us forward. It's an invitation. Bring maybe something to light in confession so that you can move forward. But sometimes there's this conviction of, oh, this thing shouldn't be in my life, or I shouldn't pursue this or do this. But I think we can also ask, well, God, show me your righteousness. Show me what's right. Show me what's good. Show me what your judgments are. And I think we can ask for those things in prayer.
Steve, are we born with the Holy Spirit in us, or do we receive the Holy Spirit by choice?
Okay, these are great questions. Basically, no, we're not born with the Holy Spirit in us. We are born body, soul, and spirit. So we have a spiritual nature. But as Paul says in Ephesians 2, talking to the Ephesians about when, before they were Christians, he says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you lived in. So because of the fall, because of Adam and Eve, rebelling against God and our own decisions to do the same, we are spiritually dead. And Scripture says that when we surrender to Christ and receive him as our Savior and become adopted into God's family, it's then that the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and revives and gives life, and we're born again. That's where that phrase comes from.
Time for a couple more here, but Dave, maybe you can do this, and maybe Steve, you can follow up on this question here. Dave, in this series, we touched on the fruit of the Spirit. However, how does the Holy Spirit influence or enable the manifestation of spiritual gifts in the life of a believer? And then they say, in terms of evangelism, words of knowledge, helps, etc.
Yeah, such a good question. When we started this series, doing a few weeks on the Holy Spirit is like, we're just scratching the surface. There's so many things to talk about. So we will come back to a whole nother series on the gifts, because I think it needs a treatment on its own. So lots more to say later this year for us to dive into that. But what I will say is we read in different places, 1 Corinthians 12 or Ephesians 4, that the Holy Spirit gives us all gifts in order to accomplish the mission he's called us to do. And so there's some big themes that come out in those passages. One of them is for unity. So God gives the body of believers, followers of Jesus, the gifts in order for us to serve one another and to serve each other. And so there's a whole long list of those different gifts in order to say we will have in our congregation, we will have all the gifts that we need. And the point of those gifts being given is for unity. And so imagery around body is often used. Some of us are an ear, some of us are an eye. We shouldn't be jealous about that. We shouldn't be divisive. We shouldn't be propping up, wow, some are better than others. We need all of these. And so we come together in unity to serve one another. And what I love, especially in 1 Corinthians 12 talks about all these different gifts that the Spirit gives us to empower us, to make us effective in what he's calling us to do. And then that leads into a very famous chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter. Love is patient, love is kind, and all these attributes of love. Oftentimes it's read at weddings, which is wonderful and beautiful, but the original context was actually, how will you treat the other people in your church with your gifts? And it is that your gifts should be used in love to build up the body and to serve other people. And God will give us everything we need.
Steve, anything on that?
Yeah. Just one thing is that it's the wonderful truth that God wants to move through each of us, and he wants to continue the ministry of Jesus through us. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And the Father sent him in the power of the Spirit. So that's a wonderful truth. And Scripture says, Paul said, pursue love, and yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. So both things, don't be afraid to ask God for more of the Holy Spirit and to ask God to show you the spiritual gifts that he's giving you, and then expect him to answer. And sometimes it comes gradually, but it's a good thing to ask God to manifest his spiritual gifts in you.
Okay, perfect. And last question for today is this. And Dave, I think we only have time for you to answer this, if you don't mind. We focused on the Holy Spirit working in us individually. How can we at Westside Church, as the body of Christ, collectively rely on and partner with the Holy Spirit to impact our city for spiritual growth and transformation? For example, through the Compassion Ministry Youth or Christmas Fund sponsors.
I love that. Love that question. How long do I get?
In this service, you got to be a little shorter.
Yeah, we got to do. Okay. This is beautiful. We're all in this together. So how do we together rely on the Holy Spirit as a church in some of these areas? We've been talking a lot about that over the fall. Even we've been talking about wanting to be a church that works for the good of our city. Well, how do we rely on the Holy Spirit to do that? There is this great passage in 1 Peter chapter 2, I believe, and it talks to a people who have a background of Judaism and going to the temple, and they go to this big, huge building, and that's where the Holy Spirit in this very concentrated place dwells, and they would go and they would worship and live out of that. And in this passage, it says, you as believer, you as the church, you are actually priests, and you are the building blocks of the spiritual temple. And the point there is, there's a shift that we need to make, and I think very important in our culture for us to make. When we talk about the church, our word for the church comes from a word in Greek that simply means an assembly, and it was used of a group of people that would gather for a purpose, that would come together. And Jesus, New Testament writers pick it up and say, now the church is the assembly, people coming together to promote the kingdom of God, to follow Jesus together. And so when we think about church, one of the shifts we need to make is, as they had to make from the temple, it's not about a building, He's saying, now you're the building blocks of a spiritual building. You as people, as a gathering, together, communally, not just as individuals, are going to be the house of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit resides. And you're going to be the priests that offer spiritual sacrifices on behalf of people to do the work that they expected to be done in the temple. Now, it's in your group. And so we need to make the shift that church, A, is not the building. We don't go to the church, even though we use that language. Oh, I'm going to the church, and we're talking about this building maybe that we're in or the place that we worship in. Or even church as a Sunday morning service for an hour, a little bit over an hour, which is a very important part of what we do, Sunday mornings. But church actually is us. We don't go to church. We are the church. We are the gathering of people come together, housing the Holy Spirit, which means what makes us effective is not our programming and not a building, although those are great tools. It's that the Holy Spirit resides in us such that we do use our gifts and we rely on the Spirit to speak to us, and that in that and gathering together, doing it together, God does something we could not do without his presence with us. So when we say, wow, we would love to see our compassion partners blessed in the city to make a difference in Hamilton, in Burlington, it's not just, wow, we'll come together, we'll try and do some things, and we have a service on Sunday morning. No, we are the building blocks of the spiritual house where the Spirit of God is working. And so I think what that means is we could have this great vision that I hope comes from God for our church. But what is powerful in it is that everything we do and everything we are starts there in the power of God working in us and through us. And so one of the most important things we can do, if we want to be generous, if we want to be generous with our time, our money, if we want to go out and do good things, if we want to encourage each other, is to bathe every single thing that we do in prayer. Ask God to do a work in us and through us that we couldn't do without him. Look for him and his promptings and try to follow him more than we are trying to just lead out on our own. And to do all these things in mind, that it's not just me as an individual, it's why we go to life groups, it's why we're going to offer opportunities to serve in our city and in our church together, it's why we join teams here. It's not a solo sport, it's all of us relying on the Holy Spirit to do what only he can do through us.
Amazing. I think that was like your final thought.
That's my final thought.
That was your final
thought?
That's it. Okay, yep. Good.
That's all I got.
Listen, everybody, thank you so much, though, for submitting these questions. Thank you for paying attention during the last 3 weeks of the Holy Spirit, of the teaching of the Holy Spirit. If you're new, go back, listen. This is some amazing stuff. These are some like really basic principles that we really need to understand as far as our walk with God is concerned. Dave, would you close us in prayer? And I think that'll be it for today. Maybe you have a few words after that. Okay.
Heavenly Father, you are so good to us. We come to you today, and in these moments, we acknowledge that your presence is here with us by your Holy Spirit, all around us and in us. This church and every church is yours, and every good thing that happens is a beautiful gift of your presence in our lives. And so I pray that you would help awaken our senses, our minds, and our hearts to your presence in our lives every day. I pray that the relationships that we have with each other here being part of this church would be ones that we are always helping encourage each other and push each other towards knowing you better. I pray that you would show us opportunities where your Spirit's already at work, and that you would give us the courage and the energy and the gifting to join you in it. And we pray that we would see you continue to do things that we couldn't do without you, that you would transform people's lives, that you would bring people into your family, that your goodness and your love would go out and impact this world, as we pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in our lives, at Westside, in Hamilton, in Burlington, in our province, country, and all over the world. In Jesus' name, amen.